Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuc. It's the 1880s, and Dolly Gallagher Levi is a charismatic widow who isn't above a good-natured scheming and manipulation to achieve her aims. Horace Vandergelder owns the Yonkers Feed and Provision Store. He's an irascible miser of the highest order, and he takes great pride in the fact that he is a half-millionaire. Kurt Rhodes and Nance Williamson star as Horace Vandergelder and Dolly Gallagher Levi in The Matchmaker by Thornton Wilder at Hudson Valley Shakespeare in Garrison, New York through August 3rd. Actors Kurt Rhodes and Nance Williamson join us now. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks, Chris. Glad to be here.
Is this both of your first outing with The Matchmaker? Have you ever encountered the play before? We'll start with you, Nance.
I'm not sure if I've ever seen it actually, or because it, I mean, I've seen Hello Dolly and I've seen that movie that what was her name?
Shirley Booth
did like in the 50s or
like
something.
Hazel, the TV series Hazel.
Yeah, which I don't really remember, even though I probably was around then, but I don't really remember her that much. But it's really interesting to have the Thornton Wilder inspiration for Hello Dolly, to have those actual words. I've done Our Town, and I've read a couple. I read Bridge of San Luis Rey and, you know, a couple of other books, but this is the first time with Matchmaker. Yeah. So.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I saw it in at the Arena Stage in D.C. and, you know, 25 years ago, I think. And Robert Prosky did it, who was an actor, but also he was kind of known for Hill Street Blues, and he was Vandergelder, and his son was playing Cornelius, and so it was kind of a fun one. But you know, and then I was in a play called On the Razzle by Tom Stoppard in Dallas. That was also in the 80s, I guess, and
inspired by Matchmaker.
Well, no, it was actually inspired by an Austrian play that Matchmaker was based on, I think. And
right.
Anyway,
I was reading the derivation of Matchmaker, thinking, okay, it was Matchmaker, Hello Dolly, 1-2. But then looking back, it was like, no, everything begets, begets.
Yeah.
Even Thornton Wilder had written a shorter version originally that was called The Merchant of Yonkers, I think.
Yonkers,
right. Like in the 30s.
Good. Yes, you know what that.
Like it was sort of Horace's play, and then he kind of included Dolly in the remake of it that was performed in the 50s.
Yeah, it kind of shifted the spotlight a little bit to her.
Yeah, with Ruth Gordon. Although they kind of share it.
But it has kind of a Molière kind of feel to it, where, you know, there's some grumpy guy that's money obsessed and woman obsessed, and then he gets his comeuppance by almost everyone. So that it's kind of has some of those, you know, commedia aspects of it, where there's the pantaloon that gets his what's coming to him. But, you know, the thing in Dallas that I was in, on the Razzle, it had so many set changes. And I think that's what keeps a lot of theaters away from it. It's like, oh my gosh, you go from this elaborate hardware store to a hat shop to the Harmonia Gardens. Then the fourth act is this lady's apartment in downtown Manhattan. And so these four really distinct sets, and they're impressive. And, you know, the Harmonia Gardens restaurant is supposed to be, you know, just so very fancy. And and that showed in Dallas just got killed by the sets. You know, the theater was over maxed. So then to bring that show, this four set show to
the tent
where, you know, there's like a couple of door frames and a table or two and a chaise. And so it's a lot more bare bones, but it's also, you know, Davis McCollum, our director, had worked on it before, and he said that at the end of the third act going into the fourth act, that you go from the Harmonia Gardens restaurant to Miss Van Huysen's apartment, and that it was this, the act ends in this bang, and then there's like this 2-minute set change, you know, that he just said the momentum just goes out of the play, and you're like, what, why don't we just end it there? And then in Hello Dolly they do end it there, so but anyway, so it's kind of fun the way he's staged it. It's like there's this whirlwind set change in the end of the Harmonia Gardens restaurant scene, and then and bam, we're right into it. It's like a no second transition. It's beautiful.
Kurt, how do you dig into and find your curmudgeonliness to play Mr. Horace Vandergelder, one of the great grumps of theater?
Yes, I don't have to scratch too far to find it. I also play golf with a group of older men called the Herd, and I've really encouraged them to come see it because they'll see themselves very quickly, you know, arguing about anything and everything. And but you know, it's really fun to the first act for me is the hardest because Van de Geller is like shot out of a cannon and saying no to everyone and do it this way and just bossy as can be. And then in walks Dolly and says, you know, I can manage this, and but not easily, you know. And so it's kind of fun playing the foil to almost everyone else's intention in the play. And you know, even my barber, it's like, you know, no, you did a fine job, the same fine job you've done 20 years. It's not very, even my compliments are kind of like they don't exceed fine, but I really love it. I mean, I find like you know, it's kind of, you've got to have the push to get the push back. So I kind of provide that big push. And also the two guys playing my workers, I sometimes can really find their funny bone. So it's almost daring them, you know, going so far over, like I'll take my shoes off and throw it at them, and then I can't get my shoes back on, so they have to help me with my shoes. And you know, it just gets ridiculous. And the director's like, maybe we should stay on the script a little bit. And we do. Actually, the Thornton Wilder estate is very meticulous about don't change a word, you know, without our permission. And so we,
Rightly so.
right, because we'd go,
Because Thornton Wilder really knows what he's doing.
yeah, he can really write.
He can write. Mr.
So,
Wilder can.
yeah,
So
so
we're all
anyway,
in
the
agreement.
original
Thornton
question
Wilder
is,
can write plays. Got he can really
it.
write plays. Yeah.
Yeah, we had some
Nancy,
friends that
something.
saw it last night and they were so charmed by it. It's kind of a theatrical tradition play where you're like, wow, this is, you know, it's so fleshed out, I think. His characters really have a lot of depth to them and nuance. And
I think the play works on a couple of different levels. There's a kind of fun little controlling love story, many love stories that are kind of going on, and it's fun, and people drink a little too much. And then there's a bottom level, or there's a deeper level that kind of works on an audience without you really even being aware of it until maybe the end of the play, where they're talking about money and finances and how that affects how you live and what choices you have. And but you don't really know that because there's this sort of bubbly topping to it all that all of a sudden that bottom rises up to the top and it's like, oh. So what seemed frothy has a bottom layer that kind of roots it.
I haven't read it in a long time, but as I recall, a number of characters, including of course Dolly, but maybe also Barnaby and possibly others, have kind of a very sort of emotive revealing monologue at certain points in the play, like a soliloquy, yeah?
The first one is Horace in the
Sure.
first act. There's four acts, and each act has a monologue. Cornelius has one, and there's a character called Malachi Stack that's kind of a smaller character
That's
that
right.
Sean McNall plays, who's kind of a con man. You know, he does what he can to kind of survive in the world, and has been hired by Horace, and he's got one, and Dolly ends the play with one. And
Really, though, Barnaby has that very final tag, so.
Barnaby closes, yeah, there's the final speech.
That's right.
What's the moral of the play? And Barnaby, who's the youngest person there, who's 17 years old, kind of gives his take on what the play is about. And for him, it's about adventure and feeling comfortable at home. And I hope you get a balance of both of them, you know, is his understanding of the evening, yeah, of the moral of the play, I guess. So,
Yeah, mine almost immediately alienates the audience. So my
Mrs.
the crux of mine is marriage is a bribe to make a housekeeper think she's a householder.
Yeah, there's a universal kind of boo or discomfort
Yes.
that
Oh my
happens,
God.
or like, oh yeah, we don't like this guy. This is
But
an old, yeah, we don't like this guy. So it's kind of
maybe
fun
we
when
can
he.
change his mind by the end of the
That's
play.
right, but maybe we can change his mind.
Yeah.
He just kind of has the play takes place in one day, and he's just sort of worn down.
To a nub.
To a nub. Yeah. So, and Dolly swoops in. She's very contributes, masterminds the whole melting of Horace Van de Gelder to get to a changed person. You can be witty and amiable and charming. I know you can, even if
In
I have
fact,
to
I
make
need you
you.
to be. Yeah.
In fact, I need you to be, and you can't. So it's like he's got a whole lot of money that's just sitting there doing nothing in the bank. And she sees the opportunity to kind of spread the wealth, So it's she's not a gold digger in the sense of that, although she probably has some of that in her, but it's like spread the wealth, be generous, and so she has a generosity of spirit that's not without self-interest, I guess is how you'd
Yes.
put it.
Nan says you approached building your Mrs. Dolly Gallagher Levi, as we've, alluded to throughout this interview. It's a very known character. How did you find in the text what you would use and how you would build your take on this amazing woman?
Well, I, having seen, as we mentioned, those Barbra Streisand in the movie, and then the movie of Matchmaker, those are two very different looks at it. They're both cinematic, and so I, as I do, like in Shakespeare plays, even when they're written about a historical character, sometimes you kind of look at the history of things and you kind of explore that. But mostly what I try to do is root it in the text of what's been given, And so he writes these long, really long sentences and paragraphs of that are all Dolly talking kind of to herself and wrapping Horace around. And he just kind of, she just keeps talking and swathes him in words and language. So I just try to find that sort of energy in me that can kind of do that. We were also talking about, it was written a long time ago. I mean, for a long time ago. And so there's a kind of, how do you connect up with a contemporary audience? How do you do something that's not, so it's not just a museum piece, but seems to connect up. Part of my challenge is to root it in the text, but also try to connect to the heart of the piece so that it connect to the heart of the audience and engage them and pull them in so that they are entertained, but also it's thought-provoking. He has some thought-provoking ideas there. And if you're kind of willing to go along in those to those places, so the play can work on that lighter level, or it also can work on that other level. So those are all the things that kind of go into the big pot of making Dolly for me.
You are both also in a the Comedy of Errors at Hudson Valley Shakespeare this summer. I'm about to speak with your director, Ryan Quinn. I'm talking to him right after we talk, and it'll air right after this airs. I mean, you've done it a lot of times, but do you like doing the rep and having, two whole plays in your brain every summer and running around under the tent in these two different ways?
You sometimes think, oh, I don't have the brain capacity, especially as time goes by. I don't have the brain capacity. And it's sort of like you've got a plays that come in and they're here and then they kind of go out and then the next plays come in and then they go out. We've done Comedy of Errors. Well, I've done it. This is my fourth time. This is your.
Yeah, fifth or sixth, something like that. I mean, I've directed it twice too. So we know the play pretty well. But it's a whole new take, and
Ryan is really has found this imaginative, creative, funny, madcap, energized rendition of the play that's just kind of charming and funny, and it's great for kids, and it's and audiences just are sort of hungry for fun and play, and so we kind of don't have huge parts in Comedy of Errors, but we've played so many of the parts over the years. It's really fun to watch new actors develop and create something that's so familiar to you.
Well,
Find that.
I'm in comedy. I've got this part, Aegean the dad, and he starts the play with a 3-page monologue about, and sets up all the exposition of the play. And Ryan has staged it with our choreographer, Susanna Milanzi, and it's this movement piece that the actors are kind of pantomiming
Oh,
out.
cool.
And as I'm speaking, so So,
Twins and Shipwrecks.
yes, that's
Yeah.
right. Shipwrecks. Yeah, do a shipwreck and then being rescued and the birth of two sets of twins. And, so it's a very, yeah. And that's one of those things that just got rehearsed over and over. So he made me really memorize that speech very early because it's like again and again and again.
I know you learned that well.
I know.
And there's like a bunch of dance numbers so it's just really fun. And it kind of has a Godfather Guys and Dolls sort of take on it. So it's really fun and zoot suits and flappers and kind of
Yeah,
fun.
you see the Lindy being danced. That's
Yeah.
kind of
Ooh,
fun.
fun.
Fun, fun, fun. The Matchmaker is running in Rep at Hudson Valley Shakespeare in Garrison, New York through August 3rd. Comedy of Errors running through August 2nd. Kurt Rhodes and Nance Williamson, always a pleasure. Thank you very much and have a wonderful summer.
Thank you
Thank
so
you.
much, Eric.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
you.
To learn more, visit hvshakespeare.org. That link will be posted along with this interview on our website, wamc.org. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable.